This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Monday morning. Mets with a nice little weekend out there in Sacramento. The offense finally wakes up yesterday. They are 10-5. They've got a really, really good start going on. The Yankees have their issues, especially with the starting pitching. Bullpen not great. Couple of guys there that are performing. They need more. We've got a Knicks playoff series set. We know when game one is going to be. It's going to be the Detroit Pistons Saturday night, 6 o'clock. So we are finally here with the NBA playoffs. We will preview this week. And yesterday we had an incredible finish to the Masters, a Saturday and Sunday in Augusta that was just so up and down and peaks and valleys and volatile and entertaining. And Rory McIlroy gets a career Grand Slam. And it wasn't easy, and he breaks down on the 18th green sobbing. Happy to have you back, Boomer. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. Happy to be back. And I will say, in regards to Rory McIlroy, what's amazing to me is social media is amazing to me.
It is.
And it's the amount of people that were either hoping that he was melting down yesterday or was somehow trying to undercut the fact that he was one of six players that in the history of the game has won a Grand Slam. In major wise is just shocking to me. I was riveted, and I'm on an airplane.
Yeah,
and I'm riveted to this thing, and it was remarkable. And then I was able to come back last night. CBS Sports Network actually re-ran the whole thing.
Nice,
so I could see it again. And just because I was so like locked into it, and it was great. And I'm actually happy for Rory. He was one of the guys that stayed with the PGA Tour. Bryson DeChambeau started to fall off. Justin Rose came back in, in the mix again. And I look, anybody that wants to undercut the way he won, because that maybe he had a couple bad shots here or there, he made some miraculous shots yesterday. And the fact that he's like I said, one of those six guys. It's him, Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, Ben Hogan, and Gene Sarazen. How anybody can undercut what Rory McIlroy has done in his career at the age of 35 is remarkable to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's not one of my favorite golfers, but I wanted him desperately to win yesterday because it's history. I know how hard he worked at it. It's 11 years between majors. It's a career Grand Slam. He had melted down at the Masters in 2011. We understand what happened last year in the U.S. Open where, he's missing those putts. So I wanted him to do it. I just think that there are people that, if it's the stuff with the European Ryder Cup team where last year was getting into it with the American caddies, or the fact that he crapped all over Liv and was on his high horse, or the fact that he doesn't embrace some of the more fun things about golf, that people will get on him a little bit. But you got to throw that stuff aside and understand what you're watching here. And if you couldn't enjoy that and get behind him yesterday, then you're just a jerk. You just are. Oh,
there's a lot of idiots out there on social media. But my thing is that I almost felt like it was preordained that he was going to win this Masters. Going into it last Wednesday, we were talking about how he was the favorite. He was going to be the guy. And everybody, it was almost like everybody knew he was going to win. But how was he going to win? And to me, I'd much rather see a golf tournament, especially a major of this caliber, being played the way that this whole thing played out, as opposed to somebody running away with it by a 7-stroke lead.
Of course.
I mean, this is what makes it even more enjoyable to watch, whether it be the cringeworthy shots or the oh my God shots. It's and it does take a lot, man. It's 4 days. It's 73 holes of golf in this case, and it is pressure packed. There are enormous expectations, and the weight of the golf world are on his shoulders. Now, okay, he gets paid $4.2 million, so it's not a bad day.
Well, no,
but he's a Masters champion. He's a Grand Slam champion, and he could say that he has done something that only 5 other players have ever done in the history of professional golf. So, to any way, shape, or form, say he's not the guy, he doesn't have it. I mean, I'm blown away by it.
Well, I think a lot of people, too, and I'm playing devil's advocate, because I bet Rory would win prior to the tournament. I thought this was his year. I also was rooting for him, not just because of the bet. I just, Bryson won the U.S. Open. I like Bryson a lot, but it was Rory's time. I wanted to see this happen. I actually felt like if he didn't come back and win that playoff after he missed that putt on 18, I was like, this is going to be Phil Mickelson in the U.S. Open. It's just never going to happen
for him. He's not Phil Mickelson.
But that's what I felt like with him in the Masters. It was just destined to not happen if he didn't come back and win the playoff, which he did. But I also think, a lot of it's gambling driven too. Like a lot of people, they like Bryson. They want to bet Bryson. Bryson comes back. He hits that putt on 18 to get 2 back on Saturday. And a lot of people bet him. And then there's pools and everything else. So I think that
good. Get on his ass then, right, for not winning.
Right. But I just think that there's, there's some irrational dislike there for Rory. But I still think there were a lot of people that wanted him to win. And you saw the patrons there, for God's sakes. I mean, when he missed that putt on 18, I mean, people, their guts were ripped out in front of him. And he got a huge ovation. And then that emotion to come out, I mean, to collapse and start sobbing on 18 just sort of shows you, like, what that meant to him. And you could talk about all the money and the hundreds of millions of dollars that he's made and all of these things. But that's what, when sports boils down to it. That moment for him, the money wasn't the thing.
It was
his legacy. It was everything he put into it, from chipping into a washing machine when he was a kid, to all of these things. It just all came out in that moment. And it was he's sobbing, and the green jacket put on him, and it's just this weight off of his shoulders. It was amazing thing to watch.
It is more about the money. It is the green jacket. It is the legacy. It's one of the most beautiful trophies that you'll ever see. Obviously the clubhouse in gold right there, that was awesome. I think it's gold, maybe silver, who knows. But it's a great looking trophy. And then, when you think about like a guy's career arc, like he's 35. He still has like 7 or 8 really good years. He looks like he's in great shape.
Well, Justin Rose is 44.
Right. And he looks like, but I mean, the Masters is one thing.
Yeah.
You get to the U.S. Open, he could actually win the Open, obviously.
Justin Rose finished 2nd in the Open Championship,
which is poor Justin Rose. Yeah. That's a whole nother story.
Right.
But I don't know. It's just, for me, it was a very satisfactory way of winning. And by the way, his last shot in the overtime hole, that came inside of Justin Rose was a hell of a shot.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, if anybody's saying that how he won it, I mean, to miss that putt, all right, first of all, he hits the shot in the bunker, which is amazing, on 18 the first time. And it's just the fact that happened. Then he hits a great bunker shot, and he's there, 7 feet, 6 feet to win the Masters, hits a terrible putt. Obviously, it got to him. He's completely devastated. To go back out, to go on the tee now and to hit another perfect drive, be right back where he was. He was right back where he was.
Man, look at you, man.
And he goes and he hits that shot after Justin Rose puts it there and then spins it back to the hole. I mean, come on!
You're like WFAN's answer to Trevor Immelman. Breaking it all down, I like it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I cashed a Rory to win ticket. I cashed out on Saturday night my Corey Connors top 5 just in case he blew up, and he did, so I got that out of there. So it was a good one, and it was just awesome to watch. And for a guy like Justin Rose too, he essentially took 2 days off. Like, he goes out and he's 8 under after day 1 or whatever it was, 7 under 8 under, and then he's just sort of just farts around for 2 days and then comes out and shoots a 66 on Sunday. Is it a playoff?
He deserves a lot of credit too.
I mean, that is amazing. And then the Bryson thing, you know, it was everything going into Sunday. Rory Bryson, two different people. They played that clip of the two of them when they were on the range at some event. And, you know, someone said, you know, what do you want to happen, Rory? He's like, I really want another shot at Bryson and what he did to me at the U.S. Open. And Bryson goes, that, to be fair, you did it to yourself. And everybody starts laughing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then Rory's just looking down at the ground and like.
Ticked off.
So then, like, he just, everybody's playing that stuff. And it's Rory Bryson. And then here comes Rory, who double bogeys one, and then all of a sudden his two-shot lead is gone.
Yeah, that was amazing. The first five holes were amazing.
Right. And then
but that's golf.
Right, and then Bryson takes the lead at one point. He's 11 under, Rory's 10 under, and then all of a sudden Bryson just went right down the tubes.
So,
and then,
so you're saying Bryson did it to himself?
This time he did.
Yes, he did. So I guess Rory gets the last laugh.
He does, and, you know, apparently there was an interview after the round with Bryson, I don't know if you saw it, where people were asking him, you know, what was Rory like out there, you know, in the final round. He goes, I don't know, he didn't talk to me.
He goes, you could see that they were separate.
And then he goes...
They were doing their own thing, man.
And he goes, the reporter goes, well, did you engage? Did you ask him stuff? He goes, yeah, he just didn't talk to me.
Yeah, the other part of this whole thing is, if you watched the way they were coming to the first tee, you know, Bryson's high-fiving everybody.
Yeah.
And Rory, he's high-fiving a few people, but not as...
No, he's just...
Not as, like, jovial, as I would say that Bryson was. He was steely-eyed, and he wanted to win this thing. And he was just going to be as focused in as anything. And I can understand why Bryson would say that about the round of golf, because there is more to it. There is lived aspect to it. There's the PGA Tour aspect to it. And those are the two famous guys. Those are the two guys that are representing each tour. And, you know, I'm still thinking that the guys who stayed on the PGA Tour are ticked off at LIV. And I'm still thinking that the guys that went to LIV thought that they had the guys on the PGA Tour on their side to force the PGA Tour to do what they did.
Yeah.
But in actuality, a lot of those guys probably said, yeah, you got a point, but we're not leaving.
Yes.
I think there's that all of that stuff, that interpersonal the workings of the initial foray into LIV, and I'll never forget, you know, because Phil Mickelson was the face of it.
Yeah, and Greg Norman and Phil. And
right, yeah, but it was really Phil with the players.
Yeah.
And I really believe that Phil felt like he had most of the players, if not all the players, on his side. And then all of a sudden, everybody split. And it became untenable between the players themselves, and I think we saw a little bit of that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, there's also this, you know, some of the players think that what Bryson does on YouTube is silly, and Rory's one of those guys. He's come out and said that he thinks, you know, YouTube golfing, and sort of scoffs at it. So that's another thing. You couldn't be two more different people. I mean, you know, Bryson bogeys a hole, and he's slapping 200 guys' hands as he's walking to the next hole. You know, Rory birdies a hole, and he just puts his head down and doesn't look at anybody. They're so different. That's what made it great. But unfortunately, it really wasn't a battle between those guys. I mean, it just wasn't. It was a battle of Rory against all his master's demons. That's what it was.
Yeah. You're right. And by the way, you know, Scottie Scheffler and those guys are all hanging around.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just waiting for somebody to collapse. And, you know, Rory kind of collapsed, but then he had enough gas left in the tank that if he did collapse a little bit, that he would still have a chance to win the golf tournament. There would have been nothing. I think if we would have come in here this morning and it would have been a meltdown, that would have just ruined everybody's, you know, who loves golf, who loves watching golf, who loves the Masters.
Yeah.
Watching the Masters, if Rory would have melted down ultimately and lost, I think we all would have been really, really disappointed.
Yeah, it would have been a negative feel as a positive feel. It wouldn't be like, I feel great for Justin Rose. It would have been like, I cannot believe he choked it up again. Like, I just can't believe it. So, yeah, I mean, this now, it's like, to think for 11 years, he tried and couldn't get it done. And then he's standing over that putt the first time, you know, on 18, and he misses that putt. Like he has got to be like, it even said in one of the interviews with Marty Smith afterwards, he's like, it was like he goes, you know, finally, you're a part of history now. And he goes, well, I was running away from history there for a while. Like he knew it.
He does have a self-awareness
right,
about him, yes.
Right. And then to come back and do that, now he gets to go back every year. He gets to be at the Champions Dinner. He's got his green jacket. He's just...
It was awesome. It was... It was an awesome Masters. And for every one of us that play golf, love golf, we could totally relate to some of the stuff that he's gone through.
Oh God! I mean, which is why the sport is amazing. We're, you know, that shot on 18 there. Just take away, you know, obviously there's pressure and everything. We understand that, but just that shot, like there's 50 guys I know that could hit a better shot than Rory did there.
Yes.
You know, but it's just like in that moment, the pressure and everything else, he ends up hitting it in the bunker, and it's mental warfare, man. It's absolutely mental
warfare.
That
had to be one of the worst feelings ever for him as a golfer.
Well, especially after what happened at the U.S. Open. You know, he's missing those putts at the U.S. Open, and he's like, holy crap, it's happening again?
Do you think he's up this morning working on his putting?
No.
If I were him, I would be.
Yeah, I think that there's plenty of time to do that. I think he's enjoying himself. And he said that he's not playing in the tour event coming up, the RBC Heritage. He's going to go back and hang out with his parents out there in Ireland and celebrate with them. I think he's going to take a breather and just sort of soak it in, and he'll get back to his putt. I mean, he made some big putts throughout the tournament.
He's supposed to be on the Travelers Championship. He's supposed to be there.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, but that's later in June.
And that's an elevated tournament.
Right.
So he should be there. Scotty should be there. The whole group of them should be there.
Well, Rory backed out last year because it's the tournament after the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And then he had
a meltdown.
And then,
yeah, so one thing I will say about him, like if he has a bad round, he doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that was a big controversy this week about...
I mean, and you know, I think you have to. I think, and this is the difference between him and Bryson.
Yeah.
Bryson somehow, some way has evolved over the last 3 years into like one of the most, if not the most popular golfer worldwide.
Yeah.
And Rory, because of his, I don't want to say demons, but I think because he doesn't want to talk about when he has a bad day, only wants to show up when he has a good day. Yeah, it's a little rough too. Also, for people who are lovers of golf, like stand there and take what it's worth. Tell people why you played bad or why you missed the putt or something. You know, don't be afraid to talk about it.
Giant bitch.
Yeah, Shane Lowry actually. So he bogeyed the last two holes on Saturday, and then he's talking to the media afterwards, and they're asking him about Rory because he's leading. And he's like, I'm not going to stand here and talk about Rory for 30 minutes. I'm trying to win the Masters too. He's like, you know what? He's like, I'm fine with talking, but you need like a half hour. I'm pissed off right now. I'm going to say something stupid. He's like, we shouldn't be talking to me right after I walk off the 18th green. I'm pissed off.
But that's the best time to talk to you.
Yeah, no, of course. But it was wild. It was a lot of fun. Everybody was into it. And I'm sure the ratings will be pretty massive.
I would think so. With that leaderboard, I would think. And then with the way that it ended. And, quite frankly, just the enormity of the event and going into it and the fact that this is the first time every year that now you have the LIV golfers and the PGA Tour golfers on the same golf course.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't as cold as it had been.
Yeah.
But yesterday's round between those two players, that was cold.
Yeah, without a doubt.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is here to give us the weekend Sunday recap in sports. What's up, Jerry?
May I, before I start?
Yeah, of course.
I'll tell you right now, we are brought to you by the New York Auto Show. Visit autoshowny.com. This is hard for me to do. But sometimes you've got to face reality. And I think I faced reality on Saturday. I might have declared winter over a little too soon.
Oh, my God.
There we go. Finally.
I never thought you would admit it.
I was so disgusted on Saturday. At one point, I saw hail coming.
Yeah.
I'm like, is it snowing?
Oh, it was snowing upstate New
morning,
York, too.
Oh, my God.
Well, I can tell you where I was. It was 90 degrees.
Oh, see, now that's awesome.
It was 90 degrees out there in Summerlin, Nevada.
That is kind of cool.
So, well,
it was not 90 degrees here.
This week looks good, though, Jerry.
It does.
No, it's a lot better this week. So maybe it is finally.
Spring's over. It's summertime. All right, so it was in the 60s and 70s down in Augusta. So I'll give you a couple. With Jim Nance setting up Rory's big win. And this was on the 18th hole, the playoff hole, with Justin Rose as he's getting set for his big putt.
Look at the long shadows. Symbolic, this moment. The journey it's taken to get here. For all this history.
Yes.
Whoa, whoa.
And then the winning putt.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
Now, I love Jim Nantz. Yeah. I do. I think he's phenomenal.
He's a dork. You thought that was a little thick?
Well, wait till I play what I play next hour for you.
Well, okay. He was holding back tears in the cabin.
Was he really?
Yeah, yeah. No, he was, because Rory was crying. You could tell that Jim was holding back tears.
Wow.
And by the way, was the low amateur not in Butler Cabin because he peed in Rays Creek?
I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked.
Because the low amateur always sits there, right?
Yeah.
And so, this guy.
See ya.
Which is unbelievable. No one mentioned this. Now, I understand that this was a big deal with Rory, but I'm like, wait a second. The low am's supposed to be there. And I was like, the guy with the low am was the guy who peed in the creek and they had Devil hat upside down, which he got crap for.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, thanks.
Remember, it's an invitational.
Will we ever hear from Jordan Spieth again after he criticized the mud balls?
The mud ball, we're not allowed to talk about it. Yeah. Right.
I was surprised he actually teed off on Sunday.
Oh, my Lord.
Very interesting. So Rory beats Justin Rose in the playoff. Rose had, I believe it was 10 birdies on his card yesterday. 10, which is unbelievable.
That's an amazing round, especially in the final round of the Masters.
And then you think about the putt he missed on 17. That could have been even more incredible. Just the sixth golfer of all time to win the career Grand Slam. Here was Rory post-match, very, very honest, talking about as he was getting set for the final round.
Today was difficult. I was unbelievably nervous this morning. Really nervous on the first hole.
And then he double bogeyed the first hole. Says, it took a long time for me to finally win this thing.
It was a heavy weight to carry, and, you know, thankfully now I don't have to carry it, and it frees me up, and, you know, I know I'm coming back here every year, which is lovely.
Yep, good for him. As for Rose, he came up a shot short. As we know, he had that birdie putt on the extra hole. It didn't go down, settled for par.
Unfortunately, the playoff, they always end so quickly. You know, that's sudden death. You don't really get an opportunity. If you're not the guy to hit the great shot or hole the great putt, you know, it's over. So I felt like that's the nature of sudden death, but not really anything I could have done more today.
Played very well, just not well enough. And then there was Bryson DeChambeau, who really struggled. He was all over the place on Sunday. Great shots, bad shots, great putts, bad putts. He was asked how it went with Rory.
Did you speak to him in there? How's he doing? Do you know?
No idea. Didn't talk to me once all day.
Did you try and initiate conversation with Rory at all?
He wouldn't talk to me.
Yeah. I mean, Bryson, everybody loves him now, but he came across a little bit rough in that one. But he blew up on Masters Sunday, and he was pissed off. So that's what happened.
Well, he did it to himself.
Yeah, just like he said about Rory did it to himself. You saw that clip that was going around yesterday, Jerry?
Which one is this?
So it was some event where Rory and Bryson were there, and they were mic'd up, and there were fans there on the driving range. They were talking about, you know, what if you could have a dream scenario of a matchup, what would it be? And Rory goes, well, I'd like another shot at Bryson after what he did to me at the U.S. Open. And then Bryson goes, well, to be fair, you did it to yourself. Like, right on him. And then Rory doesn't laugh. Like, he is looking down. He goes, I don't know where to go from there. And, like, everybody else is laughing.
See that. Wow.
So he probably thought about that
yesterday. I'm sure he did. And he did it to himself a couple of times yesterday, too.
That's right.
Another weird round. But he is finally a Masters champion. And so good for him completing the career Grand Slam. All right, we get to the baseball. The Mets were in Sacramento taking on the A's. They had split the first two games, and this game was scoreless into the sixth inning when Luis Torrens would undo that.
Severino's 0-1. Hit hard, right side, base hit going into right field. Alonso scores from third. Torrens makes Katse pay, and the Mets lead Severino and the A's 1-0 in the sixth. A hit with men in scoring position. It exists.
Yeah, he also got the gift RBI double.
Weren't they like 0-27 with runners in scoring position?
Well, yes. And if they didn't have Pete Alonso on Friday, God knows what they would have done this week. Mm. But they won 2 out of 3. Torrens 3-for-4. Francisco Lindor an RBI double. Mark Vientos double drove in 2. It was all good, and Kodai Senga was outstanding. Here was Torrens on SNY. Did you know a little bit better when you were, you know, in the batter's box because it was Severino on the mound against you?
I don't know if that helped me or not, because at the same time I'm thinking like, okay, this guy likes to do this or that, but it's always good to compete against Sevi. I know how he feels proud in the mound, so today was a good day for me, but Actually, he's a really good guy.
So he got lucky with that sun ball out in center field.
Actually, he's a really good guy.
That was very funny. Here was Mendoza on Senga. He gave a 7-inning, 4-hit ball for the win to win for the second time this year.
He attacked through strikes. I think he filled his own with all of his pitches. Got ground ball. I think he got a couple of ground balls with his two-seamer for a double play, which helped. They were aggressive at times, got some quick outs, and that's why he was able to go 7 innings today. He was really good overall.
Yes, he was. 2-1 ERA, 1.06 so far. Mets in Minnesota tonight. Clay Holmes, Joe Ryan, the starters there on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio, 7 p.m. with first pitch at 7:40. I don't give you the final score. It was 8-0 yesterday as the Mets kind of broke out late in this game. So it's interesting. I was very curious. I wanted to see. I went back to 2021. Okay. Back to April 12th, 2021, I wanted to see how much attention you guys paid to the Masters, given you weren't playing yet.
And who won that year?
Hideki Matsuyama.
Oh.
So I was just kind of curious. And while you talked about it, you know what the lead story was, though?
April 2021.
Yeah. It was also right after Al returned to the studio, to the control room, from being home for a year. Right. It's funny.
The Knicks?
Not the lead, but we were taught you did get to them in okay. The first segment. It was the disgraceful decision from the umpires to continue playing the Mets Marlins through a driving rainstorm before they finally called the game. And Friday night, Yankees Giants, disgrace. Yes. I mean, the fact that they played, I just thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, same situation.
That game was called after six, right?
They did. They did. And I think. Because Aaron Boone went out there and said enough at one point in the sixth inning when his pitcher couldn't throw a strike. So rubber game yesterday with the Giants and the Yankees. And this Carlos Rodon really pitched well until he doesn't pitch well. He gives up a hit, a walk, and then they go out and they talk to him. He stays in the game, and then this happens.
Big pitch from Rodon. Pitch. Oh, boy, a drive deep to right. Going back, Judge, and it's out of here. Row three, a three-run homer, Lee. And it's a 4-3 giant lead. Always that one inning.
Yeah,
no, it is exactly right. And it is like, just when is it coming? You just know it's going to happen.
Dave Sims with the call here on the Fan. That was Jung Hoo Lee. 2 home runs on the day, 4 RBIs. That was the go-ahead 3-run shot in the sixth. San Francisco gets their 5th run on a terrible misplay by Paul Goldschmidt in the 7th, and 5-4 was the final. Here was Rodon. He knows just a killer.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. You know, up 3-1 in the 6th there. Obviously wanted to hang up a 0 and mixed execution on a curveball. And I got punished, so it's not good enough.
He did.
And that was so flat. He, like, Jung Hoo Lee just absolutely
crushed
it. Smashed it.
Yep. Twice.
Rodon now 1-3, 5.48 ERA. I mentioned the terrible weather on Friday and Saturday. Yesterday a little bit better. Here's Jazz Chisholm, who finally snapped out of the 0-for-24 streak with a home run. He's making it very clear he hates the cold weather and how he's been dealing with it.
A lot of hot stuff from out of the training room. Going to the hot tub before the game. The layers of creams and...
What does that mean?
Layers of cream?
This is a guy after 3 games into the season was ready
put
to have
the
an
cream
MVP.
On us.
Was ready to have an MVP season, right?
Yeah. Well, and now instead, Chisholm's creaming it up.
That he yells, is he still using the torpedo bat?
Apparently.
I don't know.
Wow, no, I guess that's kind of
that's quite a
luster, right?
Yes. You know who needs the torpedo bat? The Rockies. They got swept this weekend, scored 0 runs all weekend. None. 0. Zilch.
You ever put any cream on you to make you warmer?
Jizz.
God, Jesus.
I'm not sure he's going to make it to his retirement day.
Oh, man.
Splooge? We regret to inform you that Eddie Scazzeri has been let go. That folder has gotten quite thick. Okay.
You know he's got the same, you know what? He's got the same voice inflection with both those words. Do you notice that? The way you say it, it's like,
You want to play them back to back?
Questioning, yes.
What's that?
He up talks.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Both of them. Like you're like asking a question with both of them.
Whenever he gets it,
he lost it. Jizz.
Yeah, right. And
splooge. All right. I have no idea what that's about, but it's nice to be back. Yeah. I mean, we're 40 minutes into the show, and it's great to be back.
Yankees Royals tonight. God. A couple of former Mets on the mound. Carlos.
He got cream pie.
That was more definitive, sir.
Yeah, right.
Carlos Carrasco, Seth Lugo are the pitchers tonight on the Fan at 6:25. All right, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to get to the hockey real quick as the regular season is winding down.
Thank God.
Yes, thank God for sure. It has not gone well, as we know. Why does this keep happening? These clips leave. All right, let's get to the basketball. I'll do the Knicks Nets next hour. So this was first the Islanders beating the Devils. I only give you this because Matt Lachlan sounding very Matt Lachlan-like.
Final minute of play. Oh, takeaway. Horvat, he scores.
Oh, no.
Takeaway, giveaway, call it what you will. It's an Islander 1-0 lead.
That was it. 1-0 was the final. 28th goal of the season for Horvat. The Islanders shut out the Devils. Ilya Sorokin, 25 saves for that shutout win. The Devils obviously heading to the postseason. The Islanders are not, nor are the Rangers. So I bring you this from the weekend. The Rangers played Carolina, and so this is on ESPN. This is Bob Wischusen. Take note of the score.
Walker had a look. It's out in front. Jankowski scores! Roofs it over Shesterkin, and that look says it all on the bench for Artemi Panarin. Jankowski makes it 4-0.
All right, so that's on ESPN. That's 4-0 at that time. At very soon after this, they go to the reporter Leah Hextall. And I don't know that I've ever heard a report like this in terms of what she is seeing on the Ranger bench.
Well, we just saw a little bit of jam from the Rangers right there, but it's very quiet down here on their bench. It's almost church-like, and I would say specifically from their coaching staff. Pete LaViolette, I haven't seen him say probably more than two words to his group as they are down 4-0 with their playoff lives on the line. And you don't want to keep putting that fuel to the fire. But
you get the point.
I could tell what two words he's going to say to the Rangers. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because it's they're flat. They played flat the last 20 games. They had a chance. They couldn't get it going. I thought maybe the trade with JT Miller would, you know, get some snarl on this team. And team just, again, showed why, you know, it didn't do well this year. This kind of a soft, wide-open front of the net. I mean, Igor and Jonathan Quick should be given gold medals for standing in front of that that net this year. Is so undisciplined on defense, it wasn't even
not good.
Wasn't even evident.
Yep.
Rangers. Get lost, be a competitor, you loser.
Rangers in Florida tonight, and just quickly, you'll have the Knicks taking on the Pistons in the first round of the playoffs. Game one Saturday night at the Garden at 6 or 6:30, and you got Brooklyn entering the draft lottery with the 6th best chance at the number one overall pick.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You know, I know fake news when I see it, so I knew when I got this text that it just wasn't true, but I just wanted to let you know that it did happen so you can do with what, you know, accordingly what you'd like to do with it, because this is a friend of yours who sent me this text, you know.
Okay.
And this is your friend Bleach Butt.
You know what? I mean, you know, he's an 80-20 guy. 80% of the time, he's wrong.
So you go out to Vegas for this hockey tournament.
Yes.
And I know you had a wonderful time out there. And yep. On Friday morning, you were out there, and Bleach Butt is on your team. And Bleach Butt sends me a text at 8:32 in the morning, knowing that we're on the air.
Okay.
And he says, Boomer woke up on the roof of the Bellagio with his nails painted.
Yeah, well, that's not true.
Yeah, I figured much. I figured. I just wanted to make sure that you said it wasn't true, because I sat here and said, this is coming from Bleach Butt. There's no way that it's true. It'd be funny if it was.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that we solidify that was fake news.
I'll say, it was 100% fake news. And you know, the last time we all were out there for Super Bowl 58, we didn't really get a chance to experience all of Vegas like the way you'd want to do that. You and I played golf a couple times, which was great.
Yeah, Summit Club.
Yeah, Summit Club up there in Summerlin, which was unbelievable. So this time, you know, I didn't have any responsibility, so we could go out there and enjoy ourselves. We stayed at a place called Red Rock, which is out in Summerlin, about, I would say, about 15 miles off the strip. But it was it's a really nice resort, and it's a lot of the people there were telling us it's kind of the local people's resort. They don't want to go down to the strip. They go to the Red Rock, and it was great. And it was perfect because the Vegas Golden Knights built their practice facility out there, and it was literally across the street from the hotel.
Nice.
So, and that's where we played the tournament, which we ended up 1-1-1. There's nothing worse than being 1-1-1. We lost to a team in from Calgary, tied a team from Bakersfield, and beat a team from the Yukon, somewhere up there in Canada, and like off off the beaten path, about 50 miles from the Alaskan border.
Wow.
And on it, it was planes, trains, and automobiles with these guys. A five-hour drive to an airport. I think they had to fly to Vancouver, then they had to fly to Seattle, and then they had to fly to Vegas. And one of their team members was celebrating his 50th birthday.
Wow.
So they wanted to bring him to, like, you know, civilization. You know, so, and you can imagine what these guys look like.
Oh, yeah, like a moose. They are probably all like moose.
And then one guy's going, you know, was talking to me. He goes, I think we're in the wrong division. I said, well, I don't make the divisions. And it turned out they were in the wrong division because they were the worst team. But, yeah, it was a great trip. And I have to say, we went to a Golden Knights-Seattle Kraken game.
Okay.
That was great. And 95% of the Golden Knight fans are local fans.
Yeah.
I thought it would be more like, you know, people coming from out of town. We saw some Seattle Kraken fans there and stuff like that, but it was really all Golden Knight. I mean, everybody wearing Golden Knight jerseys and everything, so that was great to see. And then we went to the Sphere to see the Eagles.
That is great. Show me some video from that. Just mind-blowing stuff.
It is, I would say so. You know, this was supposed to be the Eagles' last show at the Sphere. But then, of course, because they're so popular and there's so much money involved, that they re-up for next, I think, October, November. And I would say that it is a once-in-a-lifetime immersive concert. And I have to give Jim Dolan all the credit in the world because this was his dream. And to go in there and to watch this and see this, it really was amazing. So if you really want to go out and do something in October, November, take a weekend to go see the Eagles at the Sphere. It's one of the greatest events you will ever go to.
Let's go to Anthony in Douglaston, who's on the fan. What's going on, Anthony?
Hey, guys. I was just getting out of my car.
What's up, man?
I just wanted to thank Gio, you, for making my weekend, the Masters, amazing.
Well, you're welcome. I don't think you... I mean, did you end up winning anything or just got the action out of it?
Well, I didn't win, but the action was unbelievable. Thanks to your declaration of your man love for Ludvig Åberg, whatever his name is.
Åberg, yes.
Yeah.
I put 500 to win on the guy, 40-1.
Oh, man.
And and the guy, it was tight. It was the three of them were minus 10.
Yeah, no, I know. He was right there.
I thought I was going to win 20 grand.
Yeah, but you know what? It's and I'm glad that you got the action out of it. That's really what it's about. I mean, if you're there, you know, betting on stuff to like try to make a ton of money, it's generally not a great idea. But if you can have some entertainment out of it, and it seems like you did, Anthony, that's great. I also threw out there our buddy we talked to last year at the Travelers, Corey Connors, who was up there for most of the weekend. And then I had Rory to win as well. So
just goes to show you how hard it is to win. I mean, you get there and you're tied. Next thing you know, you double bogey or you bogey it, or you hit a ball into the water, which I feel like there were more balls hitting the water this time around.
Yeah, it's a ton.
For some reason, it was crazy. And the weather was unbelievable. It was perfect.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I mean, yesterday, it was barely any wind, too. It was just perfect conditions, and you still had Rory shooting one over.
Well, that's the pressure. Right. I mean, he had four really good rounds, but that's the pressure.
My man love for Ludvig Åberg. It is true. I just the guy's unbelievable. Now I got to root against him at the Ryder Cup, but he's just like, he's young and he's focused. He's just like, it looks like he was built, like someone built this guy. You know, like AI came out with the perfect golfer.
So is that next year's drama filled player, you think, or no?
What do you mean drama-filled player?
Oh, this year it was Rory. You know, the drama was all surrounding him.
Yeah, yeah. No.
Now that he's got his grand slam, everybody's okay now?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's going to be a lot of drama around him next year. I'm not sure. I don't think
there's any drama around him at all.
Well, not
what
now.
What is he German?
Who, Ludvig?
Yeah.
He's Swedish.
Yeah.
All
right, well.
Yeah, he went to Texas Tech, and you can only detect a little bit of an accent with him. I mean, he's been in America for a long time now, but yeah, blonde hair, blue eyes, knows how to play the game. You know?
Yeah.
Got a crush on the guy, I think.
Sounds like somebody else you know.
Like looking in the mirror, Boomer.
Yes, yes.